What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Blurt It Out. So today, One Piece is back in action. We got the new chapter, 1110 Planetfall. We're also going to be talking about the One Piece card game for a little bit. And we're probably going to hit on some of the seasonals I done caught up to. First, let's get a word from our crispy sponsors. You are now listening to the Blurt It Out podcast, which is available on your favorite podcast websites like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Check the link in the description or search Blurt It Out wherever you podcast, and you will find greatness. Episodes are also uploaded on my main YouTube channel at Tyrant King Kuma and on the official podcast YouTube channel at Blurt It Out Podcast. Okay, as always, if you haven't caught up to any of the episodes, chapters, or shows we're going to be talking about, please be warned there are spoilers ahead.
Spoilers.
So chapter 1110, Planetfall. Now, this one felt pretty short. Probably because of the double page spread and probably just because of the general content of this chapter, it felt short. And honestly, you can center it around two major things, which is the Gorosei appearing, and then you have the Zoro Luchi thing. But let's talk about the cover story for a little bit, because previously we were in Onigashima. Now, I was talking about how the reason they're showing that is probably going to be because someone wants that Poneglyph in Onigashima. This time we're getting Yamato and Momonosuke, and it looks like Yamato is going to go on basically an adventure like Odin and travel around Wano. To me, the only reason they could be doing this is to have Yamato run into someone who wants the Poneglyph. That's option one. Two would be run into someone who wants Pluton, because we have to have some kind of conflict here, right? Pluton exists, Poneglyph exists, and nothing's been done with it so far. And now we're back in Wano. So I feel like we have to maximize the potential of that somehow. The best way is to have Yamato run into whoever wants it. I would also like to see Yamato run into Kaido or Big Mom if they are still here. I would actually enjoy that, because I know they're still alive somewhere. I want to see what's up with them. They still have potential in the story. I want to see it unfold. But into the chapter, the time has come for all the Gorosei to appear. They all pull up and they're all in their, I want to say, full fruit forms. Now, I guess we still haven't gotten confirmation if these are actual fruits or if these are more like just eldritch abominations. For now, I think it's safe to call them fruits, solely because they all have the awakened flames around them. That's the only thing that's making me think that these have either fruit abilities or connected to fruit abilities. So Saturn we've already seen, but we get confirmation that he's a Gyuki or an Oshioni, which is, I believe, a bull or a bull ogre type creature. And one of the things about the Oshioni is that it can kill with a glance, because they're all based off yokai of certain legend. So the legend of the Gyuki is that it can kill based off a glance. And we know that Saturn's been using an ability by just looking at people that either does damage, you know, freezes them in place. He has some kind of eye ability. So it's cool to see that that's actually part of the yokai lore. Mars is the Itsumare, which appears to be a bird-snake hybrid. Mercury is the Hokai, or a boar. Now, Gandhi is a special one. He is a skeletal horse, which is the Bakotsu. But the thing I like about his is, like, design-wise, it doesn't really match the other ones. The other ones kind of look like just mythical exotic animals. And then Gandhi's, it really just looks like a skeletal horse. But it looks kind of epic, not gonna lie. Like, in the full spread, it looks really dope. And I think I like his and I like Mars the most of all the forms. And then Jupiter is a sandworm, which I find very uninteresting. It's basically an Alaskan bullworm. So we get the double page spread of just all the Gorosei, and they are enormous. Now, off first glance, it looks like Saturn is the smallest of them all. But something to point out is that Saturn still has his human head, as opposed to the rest of the Gorosei, which appear to be fully transformed. So it's possible that Saturn isn't fully transformed here. This could be his hybrid form. Because we even see Gandhi, as he's attacking the Pacifisto, he can switch to a hybrid form, where he has like the skeletal horse body, but like his upper body, his torso, is just Gandhi. So I wonder if that's what Saturn's doing right now. Speaking of Gandhi, he sets off immediately. So like, as soon as he shows up, he starts taking out Pacifista. Left, right. And he has what looks to be either a black blade or blade coated in haki. Now, we don't see any specific sparks or anything coming from the blade. And to be honest, the way he's attacking, it's a lot like Brook, where Brook uses Soul Solid and he freezes what he attacks, what he cuts. So I'm wondering if it's not necessarily a deep cutting attack, or more of a just a freezing attack, because all he's doing is freezing the circuitry that's shutting the Pacifista down. He's not actually damaging them, and it's even mentioned that they're only temporarily down. They're going to be back. So I'm wondering if this ability is very similar to Brook's in the fact that it channels some kind of underworldly power. And if that's so, it would be weird for him to put haki on his blade just to do that. I feel like he could do that without haki. I mean, Brook could do it without haki. So I'm wondering if that's just a black blade. We'll have to get more info on that. Yeah, Gandhi pretty much blitzes, I think, about half the Pacifistas, which basically opens up the marine battleships to try and lay waste to the island again, because they were getting shut down hard before. While Gandhi is clearing those out, Mars flies up to the dome, and it looks like he's trying to break through. Now, based on what I see, there's a huge explosion when he crashes into it. But based on like the grid lines of the dome, it looks like the explosion happens on the inside of the dome, which would make me think that he got in there, especially because there's no like back explosion. Like, this could just be an explosion happening on the other side of the dome, and we're just seeing it from a weird angle. So we would have to get clarification on that too. But just based on this, it seems like he may have broken through. Now, jump over to the rest of the crew. Pretty much everyone has gathered up here. They finally got the Sunny to stop. Usopp ended up using bamboo shot and just shot bamboo sticks, and the Sunny pretty much crashed up against that. So W Usopp, we'd love to see you. But they're pretty much calling for Zoro and Jinbei. Now, we've been going on and on and on about Zoro versus Luigi for the past, 20 chapters? However long they've been clashing and just not fighting. But at this point here, Zoro just locks in. And I'm pretty sure it's because Sanji's just calling him a burden. Basically, he got irritated that Sanji called him a burden, and he decided to finish the fight right here, which is crazy, because why didn't we do this in the first place? I still don't fully understand the reason that he was going around with Luigi if he was just gonna hit him like this. And it looks like Luigi's whited out. I'm not going to say he's defeated yet, because we don't even get the panel of him falling to the ground. We just get his eyes whited out. So, I mean, there's a good chance he's either not fully defeated or he'll be back within a few chapters. Yeah, I'm not going to be surprised to see him again. But it's good that we got him out of the way, because now we can move on. By the time he wakes up, we should be out of here, so we ain't got to worry about it. And then back to the final page of the chapter, back to the Gorosei and everything. So Jupiter tries to eat Luffy. And based on how that worked for Kaido, I would assume that this wouldn't be any better. Like, this might actually have been a detriment to the fight had Dorian and Bragi not stepped in. Like, I feel like Jupiter would have been feeling something about that. But Dorian and Bragi step in, they chop up Jupiter, which I assume he's going to be fine from. Can't see that hurting him at all. Honestly, I could see him growing separate pieces from the different chunks that they cut, because they cut him twice. Dory got one, Bragi got one. So there's three pieces of Jupiter right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if all three of those pieces like form something different. But we finally get the reunited panels of Luffy, Dory, and Bragi. They're all happy to see each other. and this is going to end badly. Because I'm pretty sure what's going to happen here is Dorian Broggy are going to have to stay back to hold the rest of the Gorosei while everyone leaves. And if they do that, they're not making it out of here. If they stay back, I'm pretty sure they die on this island. Which I think they would be okay with, being giants and, you know, wanting that lasting battle to be their end battle. You know, it's about how they die. That's what they mentioned when we talk about how Big Mom killed the Elder Giant. It's not about, you know, how you live, it's about how you die. And this would be a valiant death going against the supreme world powers. But that's the chapter. Wasn't really a whole lot of, like, side pieces or introspection. It was pretty straightforward for a chapter. But really good to finally see those forms. Really good to see Zoro versus Lucci. And we're wrapping things up here. The only thing we still have hanging over our heads is the message. I believe we got about 7 minutes now until it goes live. I'm guessing, say, 2 or 3 chapters before we get the message. So it's been 3 minutes between these chapters. I would imagine it's say two or three chapters. I think that's a fine estimate. So I think within that time, the rest of this is going to be the Straw Hats getting to the ship and Luffy getting away from the Gorosei. I think that's pretty much the end of what's going to happen here on Egghead before the message goes out. All in all, solid chapter. Like I said, it's not like one of those thinky chapters. It's not one of those, you know, speculative chapters. It's pretty straightforward. So once you talk about it, it kind of wraps up. I'm excited to see what happens next. So we'll wait for the next week. I don't believe we're on break, so we should be on the roll next week for a new chapter. Yep, not on break. So we good. Let's talk about the One Piece trading card game for a little bit. So as of today, the new set, Pack 6 has dropped, Wings of the Captain. And if you haven't seen it already, I did an unboxing of the booster box. I got a booster box, did an unboxing, got some really sick cards. I got both alternate art Gecko Moryas, which apparently are stupid expensive. Like, just off those two cards alone, I think I make back the money I spent on that box. And then some. But I got some really nice cards in that set. If you haven't checked it out, go check out that video on both the main channel and the podcast channel. And I got that set a few days back. I got it on the, 10th, 11th? A few days back. Today, I went out and it was cleaned out. All the booster packs were gone. So like I managed to get my hand on, I think, about 4 booster boxes. I went to a few different places, got about 4 booster boxes. I'm going to open those and I'm going to do a shorter opening, and we're going to make a video of that as well. So keep an eye out for that. I plan to start deck building here in the upcoming, probably couple days. Now that I've gathered a few sets of cards here, there are still some cards I'm looking out for. I really want some Perona and Ulti cards, but you know, RNG. I also managed to pick up the Yamato starter deck and the Zoro Sanji starter deck. I have both those starter decks, so I could have the cards in those sets too. So I think I have a pretty good amount of cards to make some solid decks right now. But I'll keep y'all updated on that. Last but not least, let's talk about the seasonals I caught up with. So I've been doing it kind of unconventionally for myself, I should say, in that I have more than 2 or 3 shows I'm keeping track of. I think usually I cap it at like 2. But right now I'm watching Undead Unluck, Ragna Crimson, Raren, The Dangers in My Heart Season 2, A Sign of Affection, and Ninja Kamui. I have all those on the docket right now. Now, Ninja Kamui started off crispy. Like, they got some crazy animation, the fights, all that stuff is good. But there's only like 6 episodes out right now, so I think I watched the first 2, and then I'm gonna hold off on that. I want to bank a few more episodes of that just to have a longer watch period. I just started Sign of Affection, and I'm loving it. So sweet, so adorable. It does not match up to Dangers in My Heart, I have to say that, so far. I'm only like 2-3 episodes in, so it doesn't match up to Dangers in My Heart so far. It has potential to catch up, but Dangers in My Heart season 2 is probably, it's tied with Frerin for my favorite of the season. And I mean, it's, I might put it at first because it does things to my heart. It makes me feel so good and sad at the same time. There's sad scenes, there's happy scenes. It's making me feel all kinds of things, which is what I really like about it. And it's one of the things I'm missing from A Sign of Affection so far is that I haven't been quite sad yet. There's still time, but that's what I'm waiting on. Frerin, though, is just, it's just a solid story. Like, beginning to end, I've been enjoying the story, the characters, the animation, just all of it just coming full circle. I think we got like 2 episodes left before Frerin is done. I'm gonna be so bummed, but I'm very excited to see how they wrap it up. Undead Unluck, I think we have a couple episodes of that left too. Been enjoying that. That's like my humor show, because it's got great action. The story is actually pretty solid, but it's also funny. Like, I just enjoy watching it. Also for like the character interactions, all things like that. Andy and Fuko are just a funny combination in general. I also completely watched Heavenly Delusion. I super binged that one because I saw it had some pretty good reviews. I was curious about it, so I just went through it. And pretty solid. That one was a lot darker than I thought it was going to be going in. Like, I expected more of a, what was it, Tokyo Magnitude 8 type feel to it. That's what it looked like from like the promotional art. I didn't look at any of like the trailers, or I didn't really read up on it. Kind of just went into it. So I thought it was gonna be more like that. It's not. Something entirely different. A lot darker than I expected. Just a lot of interesting themes are carried out in that show, none of which I was prepared for. So I mean, interesting watch. It's something you should be prepared for, but a solid show all around. Now, something I've been slacking on is Classroom of the Elite. I have not started season 3, which is surprising because of all the seasonals, that would be like a top 2 seasonal for me, because I genuinely adore that series. So I'm surprised I haven't started it yet. I'm probably going to binge that one completely, because by the time I'm finished with all these other ones, I think it should be done. So I'll be able to watch all 12 or 13 episodes at once. So that one will be coming up shortly. But that's pretty much what I'm keeping up with right now. I'm super close to finishing Final Fantasy. I'm wondering by next time we'll have it done, we'll see. But I really haven't done much gaming of the past week or so. Been busy, stupid busy. But hopefully I'll get more into that with the next week. I think I'll be a little less busy. But that's going to do it for this episode. I will catch y'all next time. Peace.